This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
We are live in downtown Seattle, the CenturyLink Field Event Center, where just over 4 hours from now, the Seahawks and the Minnesota Vikings will kick it off in a very highly anticipated Monday night football game. For the Seahawks, they can keep alive their hope of having the best record in the NFC. If they win tonight, the Seahawks, according to 538.com, the analytics site, Seahawks would have a 60% chance of not only winning the division, but getting a first-round bye, meaning you have one of the two best records in the NFC. And I tell you what, if you can take a week off right at the beginning of the playoffs, that is huge. So here's what that would mean. The Seahawks would be a favorite to get a first-round bye, and that means they would have a home game in the second round of the playoffs. And if they can defend home field, then they're in the NFC Championship game with a trip to Miami and the Super Bowl on the line. So that's one of the things that's at stake tonight. But I'm telling you, I've been doing a lot of study on the Minnesota Vikings, and this is a very good team. Vikings are 8-3. The Seahawks are 9-2. So this is going to be a terrific matchup tonight. So they're going to kick it off in just over 4 hours. In less than an hour, I will be joined by my Seahawk pregame co-hosts, Paul Moyer, Ray Roberts, Michael Bumpus, and Jordan Babineau, and we will shift into Seahawk pregame mode and count you down to kickoff between the Seahawks and the Vikings. But we got a lot of stuff to talk about between now and then. I somehow survived doing 2 days of the show last Tuesday and Wednesday while Nicole was off gallivanting around at Disneyland. How was that? How was your Disney excursion?
It was different than past visits to Disneyland. Yeah, it was pouring, absolutely pouring down rain 2 of the 3 days that we were there. So, I mean, it definitely loses a little magic when it's pouring like that and you're running around in ponchos.
But there aren't the long lines, right?
But we did every ride at least 2 or 3 times, never waited in the line longer than 20 minutes, and absolutely accomplished everything. And then Friday, it did clear up a little, so then they brought the magic back in. We got to see the parade and the fireworks, and it was all good.
But wait a second. There were still 20-minute lines in driving rainstorms?
Well, yeah. I mean, people still, I mean, they're like us. They go there on vacation, and you don't have a choice but to tackle the park, but the locals definitely stayed home.
I have some fond memories. We got caught, but the thing is, we were caught in a summer rainstorm at Disneyland when our girls were little, but I didn't mind that. It was cool. It created cool memories.
Yeah, this one, I mean, we definitely, it was an adventure, so there was some memories there. The kids that I was with, my cousin's kids, were I feel like they left Disneyland not knowing what it's really like, because those lines, I remember when I was little waiting 2 hours for Indiana Jones and waiting, 3 hours for Space Mountain. And some of the rides we were just able to stay on and go a second time. And then, but these kids, like, they don't know what it's like to wait in those lines and until
Lucky
the third
them.
Day. Yeah. It was different. It's weird, but it was really fun. And it was cold because the rain was freezing.
Yeah.
And we thought it was going to be warmer rain, I guess. And we had just brought sweatshirts. So, yeah, we had to buy ponchos, run around in ponchos.
Oh, those Disney ponchos. There's no markup on those.
No, you know what? But if they rip, they replace them. So we went through, we got our money's worth because we each had them replaced 2 or 3 times.
Well, yeah, that's because they sell them at 50 times their cost.
Yes,
to make them. But okay, well, good. And Ursula, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was a ton of fun. We had no drama. We had just a fun time. There was it was unremarkable in that there was no family drama.
That's good.
Hey, I know there are people who could relate.
Oh, yeah.
It was really good.
Okay. Yeah,
it was awesome. Very nice. How about yours?
It was beautiful. I was on Twitter during the day because we got this new thing in the neighborhood where I text some neighbors who have dogs, and then they bring all of their dogs over to our backyard.
I saw your tweet.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
In fact, if you go look at that tweet, it's really, my phone takes good pictures, I discovered. If you zoom in on it, you'll see Buddy and one of the Vizslas that my daughter and son-in-law were dog-sitting. You will see that Buddy and one of the Vizslas are in a pitched tug-of-war battle with a Frisbee. So that's taken up two of the dogs in the picture. But yeah, so we just have five dogs running around, and we just hang out and visit, and it's very pleasant. And as one person on Twitter said, this is the way a neighborhood is supposed to be. And I agreed with that. So we had our dog park going during the day, and then we had our family in the afternoon for our meal, and it was beautiful. We got our my Christmas tree is up.
Wow.
My Christmas lights were up a week earlier. Now the tree is up. It's a Christmas wonderland at my house right now.
I do feel like everybody was in a rush to get everything up this weekend because Thanksgiving was so late. We get less time before Christmas, and everybody was rushing to get everything set up this weekend.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. It was awesome. Great. So glad everybody had a good time. Okay, let's get into the fastest 15 here. And even though we were going to just talk about all the news that's going around, there are a couple of football things in here, rather coincidentally. But I'm going to start with this. Have you guys, I've never seen any of the Austin Powers movies. Have you guys seen those?
Yes.
Okay, so the bald guy who sticks his finger in his mouth, who's that?
Well, his real name's Vern, but he's the mini-me.
That's mini-me, okay. And then you got Austin Powers, that's Mike Myers, right?
Right.
Okay.
Oh, I guess you're talking about the Dr. Evil and the mini-me. There's two. Anyway, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know how this just surfaced today, but a few years ago, when they were still working together on a daily basis at Microsoft, Steve Ballmer and Bill Gates actually put together for apparently a staff party. It was an Austin Powers takeoff, and Steve Ballmer, I'm sorry, he's the bald guy who sticks
Dr.
his finger
Evil.
In his mouth.
Dr. Evil.
Okay. So Steve Ballmer's that guy, and he's sitting behind a panel of four buttons that have various levels of destroying the world.
And he's got his bald cat, whatever those cats are called, that have no hair.
Oh, Lord. This is what happens when you are the richest people in the world. You don't have anybody around you who has the guts to say, hey, guys, this is a really bad idea. It's not funny. It's just cringeworthy.
Oh, seriously? Did we tweet it out, or did we put it on our Facebook page?
It's out there. I'll send it to you.
Chris Sullivan retweeted. Here's the audio of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a plan!
This Steve Ballmer with the bald head and sitting behind his panel of four buttons.
Now, if this global reinvention is to work, there might be a few competitors that are unfortunately eliminated.
And the thing is, when Microsoft's been hit with the allegations of being a monopoly, they're joking about all their competitors that have to be eliminated, and it goes on from there. Okay, then he pushes one of the buttons that says total destruction or something like that, and it cuts to footage of four high-rise apartment towers being imploded, and you see them collapsing.
Oh, hey.
And then Bill Gates turns around all dolled up like Austin Powers and says, oh, behave. It is the most cringe-inducing little skit video that you'll ever see.
But doesn't it humanize them a little more? No. I think it humanizes them. We've all done stupid videos like that.
I haven't.
Yes, you have. I'll go find
one.
You poured Diet Coke on yourself in a shower. Give me a break.
Good one.
You know what? That looked like a Fellini film.
Oh, you have done silly things.
It looked like a Spielberg masterpiece. Me pouring Diet Coke over my naked body compared to this.
Okay, first of all, Steve Ballmer is known to be kind of a nut. I mean, he has got so much energy. He has. you're just in a. It was fun. It's Chris Sullivan. I got to watch the video, but Chris Sullivan couldn't. We've been so busy with breaking news, but Chris Sullivan could not stop laughing.
It's awful. It's just
pretty
awful.
Silly.
It's
not the worst thing ever.
It's pretty close. All right, next up. This got a lot of condemnation this weekend after the Huskies. And again, if you're just tuning in, huge news with the Washington Huskies as head football coach Chris Peterson just less than 2 hours ago announced he is going to step aside as the coach of the Huskies. And we'll talk more about that next hour when we get into our Seahawks coverage here with all my co-hosts. But Chris Peterson stepping aside, second highest winning percentage of any active coach in college football. And even more importantly, in our house divided, we got both our Husky and Cougar flags up on our front porch over the Thanksgiving weekend, since we have four Huskies, including my wife and me. We have four Huskies and one Cougar in our family. And so we always put up both the Husky and the Cougar flags. But in the game on Friday, the Huskies beat the Cougars yet again. And so Mike Leach will never defeat Chris Peterson as Huskies coach, since Chris Peterson is stepping aside. But Mike Leach being very criticized because after the game, a columnist for the Spokane newspaper, Mike Leach said, well, Huskies have a lot of top 10 recruits and we don't, so they're supposed to beat us, and you guys never talk about that. And the reporter says, so you're not supposed to beat these teams to recruit better talent? And oh, that set Mike Leach off.
Like, this is the seventh year in a row that they've gotten you, and they haven't been really close games or that. How frustrating is it when they keep coming up like this?
Well, it's frustrating. I do find this part of it interesting, though. I mean, as fast as you guys rank their recruiting class, you know, in the top 10, and then you're always surprised when they win. So I think that, you know, maybe that would have a little something to do with it.
So you're not supposed to beat teams that have higher ranked recruiting classes?
Well, we certainly have before. We didn't win this one, and I don't care to have a big discussion with you on it because I really don't care what you think.
Mike, you're playing with nothing.
You know, and you run your mouth and your little old column and stuff like some sanctimonious troll, and where, you know, you've never been fair or even-handed with us, so I really don't care what you think. Okay, go ahead, because you're going to write some nasty stuff anyway, like you always do, and I don't know which coup way back when did something that offended you. I really don't care about that either, but you can live your little meager life in your little hole and write nasty things, and if that makes you feel even, you go right ahead.
Okay, so that was the big criticism, is Mike Leach just took the low road and called the columnist a sanctimonious troll. And I got mixed feelings about this, because Mike Leach amuses me. I find him to be funny, but not necessarily in the most endearing of ways. I think that he, you know, doesn't provide the usual standard soundbite. But given how I respect how Pete Carroll handles the media, and Pete Carroll would never in a million years do something like that with a reporter.
And a reporter who asked a legitimate question.
Yeah, yeah.
And how much does the coach make per year?
Millions. I don't know how
much. Isn't it like $6 million?
Something like that, yeah.
So are we supposed to think that you can't win because, I mean, why doesn't he recruit better if it's about recruiting?
Have you ever been to Pullman, Ursula?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, people
Pullman
who go to Pullman and who go to Wazoo are so passionate. We've talked about that.
It's amazing that they've done as well as they've done, because Pullman, look, you're talking to high school guys who have been superstars in their high school career, and they have a chance to go to Seattle or to Los Angeles.
Okay,
they can go to the Bay Area. They can go to Oregon. Eugene, which isn't, you know, that glittery, but they got Nike that has spent tens of millions of dollars on the nicest facilities in all of college football. It is hard to recruit people to Pullman.
But if you have a really good team, let's just say someone like Gonzaga, now it's basketball, but it doesn't matter where you live. If you have a really good team, a good coach, a great program, someone who's going to inspire you. And I just think, you know, so yeah, some of the stuff he says is humorous, but at some point it gets old.
At the same time, I think that that reporter, I think they all know what he's going to say before he says it. And they ask questions phrased in a way to get him like this.
They love pushing his buttons. That's very true. But I will say, it all is kind of tiresome. I mean, he blamed his captains for not being leaders. He blamed his players for you know, their horrible approach. He's blamed his coaches for not getting the players to where they need to be. He blames the media for saying that they shouldn't beat teams that recruit better. It gets, and that's where I say I get tired of his excuses. And yet, I don't have anything vested other than my daughter was a Cougar, but I find him enormously amusing. And in a sea of soundbite sameness, I'm glad Mike Leach is out there. But if I were a dyed in the wool Cougar fan, I'd get real tired of his excuses.
Well, I think also some of it is just raw honesty. Sometimes he's just honest about what he thinks, whether it's an excuse and probably isn't always the most accurate excuse. I think he is saying, this is why I believe it happened. Done.
Yeah,
but man, that's hardly inspirational
typical
for your team.
Yes, it's not typical of coaches.
When you are getting public dollars and you're one of the highest paid public employees.
They don't get public dollars. College football coaches are paid. It's not like those are tax dollars that pay Chris Peterson.
But are they not a public employee?
Mike Leach. Those are the football programs are self-funding, and those come out of football program revenue. So
okay.
They don't get tax dollars, but I understand your point.
Right.
That,
and you're making that much money to say, well, we don't recruit well, and you know, you're a sanctimonious troll.
Great coaches take responsibility, and they try to take pressure off everybody around them, not the other way around. So I agree with you on that. Okay, tell you what, I only got to about a half of our fastest 15 stories. So let's take the quickest of timeouts, and then we'll continue with a second 15 as the Dory Monson Show rolls on from CenturyLink Field, where in 35 minutes we're going to switch to Seahawks pregame coverage as we take you up to kickoff. Monday Night Football, the Minnesota Vikings and the Seahawks. Our live coverage continues.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast. Dory's fastest 15.
Twenty-six minutes from now, I will welcome in my Seahawks pregame co-hosts, Paul Moyer, Michael Bumpus, Ray Roberts, and Jordan Babineau. And we will begin counting you down to kickoff for Monday Night Football here at CenturyLink Field. The Minnesota Vikings, 8-3. The Seattle Seahawks, 9-2. It should be a great battle, and there is so much on the line for the Seahawks as they try to position themselves for, dare I say it, maybe a deep run into the postseason. And as I said earlier, if they win tonight, according to analytics site 538.com, Seahawks should have a 60% chance of getting a first-round bye, which means they would have to win one home game in the second round of the playoffs after getting a first-round bye. And then if they win that, they would be in the NFC Championship game. So they would be just two wins away from the Super Bowl. But there's a huge game tonight, and it is not going to be an easy game against the Minnesota Vikings. So we will switch into our Seahawks pregame coverage coming up in just 25 minutes here from CenturyLink Field. I had so many great audio sound bites that I was going to play in the fastest 15. And other stories that but I wanted to share with you. So I'm going to just kind of continue with a second 15. You've heard the phrase, it's kind of crude, that a team pisses away victory in a game. Ordinarily, I would never use a phrase like that, but it literally happened in a big rivalry college football game this weekend, Mississippi versus Mississippi State. And Ole Miss was down by 3 points. I'm sorry, by 7 points in the final minutes, and they scored a touchdown. You kick the extra point, and you send the game into overtime. There was only one problem. When they scored that touchdown that should have been a tying touchdown, the guy who caught the pass, he crawled on all fours like a dog and then lifted one of his legs to make it look like he was going to the bathroom. Well, guess what? That gets you a 15-yard penalty. And instead of a little chip shot extra point to tie the game, to send it to overtime against your big rival, 15-yard penalty, now it becomes a field goal of medium length, and they missed it. They missed it because a guy's celebration was, I'm going to pee like a dog on the football field. I don't know that I've ever been so thrilled to see a team miss an extra point and lose a game. I feel bad for his teammates. I feel bad for all of them because this would have been the highlight. They were having a very mediocre year. This would have been the highlight to beat their big-time rival. But no, because one guy had to be so thoughtless and selfish and pantomime a dog urinating on the field, then it ends up costing them the game.
So this was something that Metcalf had done, who now plays for the Seahawks.
Yes.
And he had done it. And did he get penalized when he had done it?
Yes.
Or he did it?
Yeah. And that was one of the things that everybody's been saying about him, that he's grown so much. And maybe this guy will too. That, you know, you grow as a person when you make your mistakes.
But this guy knew that.
He knew that it was going to cost
Metcalf
him 15
had been
yards. Absolutely.
Fun,
yeah. That's just, it's unbelievable.
Crazy.
It's unbelievable. And then there was this from the world of college football. You just never hear stuff like this. But in the Ohio State game, they have a star running back named J.K. Dobbins. And as they explained on the Fox Sports telecast, and again, play-by-play and color guys, they don't ever go down a road like this. But they told the story about how J.K. Dobbins, the star running back for the Buckeyes, that he almost didn't exist at all. And this is considered, in fact, a lot of people were upset that they introduced this subject during a college football game.
211 yards rushing. What does this kid not do? He's churning the clock out in between the tackles, and then bam, lightning on the outside, the explosiveness to go down, and then up and over the top to put that ball over the goal line for a touchdown. What a day for J.K. Dobbins. Absolute dominant performance from Dobbins and this offensive line.
J.K. Dobbins' mom, Maya, became pregnant when she was 18 years old. She went to the doctor because she was thinking about aborting the baby, but changed her mind. That baby turned out to be that young man, J.K. Dobbins, who she calls her miracle baby.
Ooh, and all of a sudden, Twitter started going nuts, and people said, well, it's Fox Sports. Are they taking an anti-abortion position by calling this guy the miracle baby and pointing out that he almost didn't exist? And here's what I would say about that. I talk about really controversial issues on my Monday through Friday radio show. On a day like today, I talk about the stuff I regularly usually talk about from noon to two. When I get into Seahawks pregame mode, I stay completely away from those types of controversial topics because, you know, like when Keith Olbermann was doing football on NBC and he would bring up an anti-gun position or something like that. As a viewer, I didn't like that. I like my sports to be entertainment, and I like them to be away to just get away from the divisive stuff that we talk about Monday through Friday. Now, I will say that I found it incredibly refreshing that that opinion made its way onto national airwaves.
But I'm not sure that that's an opinion, that he's telling a story.
I know. I'm just telling you how people interpreted it. I'm telling you because Twitter went crazy.
Right, but I just don't. I don't find. I mean, people aren't listening clearly or reacting to what is actually said.
I agree with you.
Telling a story.
I'm just saying, anytime anybody brings up the A word, people on either side of the issue, people just dig in their heels and they go berserk at anything that doesn't fit the way they view that issue.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So no, I think that it was fine that he did it. And like I said, I found it refreshing. But it was, and man, the Twitter sphere went absolutely crazy. Okay, and then one other real quick kind of sports related thing. Do you remember this incident a couple of weeks ago where, do you bump up the audio of the cat on the field, Nicole?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay, there was a couple weeks ago, there was a game between the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants, and a black cat ran onto the field at MetLife Stadium, and the play-by-play guy who was calling the game, let me play it for you. He started doing play-by-play as the cat started walking toward the end zone.
He's walking. He's walking to the 3. He's at the 2. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive, kind of like Barkley and Elliott. But he didn't know where to go. Look at, they're trying to corner him. And they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands, and the fans are running for their line. Now it goes back on the field again, and it's running in the back of the end zone, and it runs up the tunnel.
Well, it now appears that that black cat on the field may have brought a curse to any NFL team that has a cat in its nickname, because since that incident, NFL teams with cat nicknames have gone 0-12. With their loss on Thanksgiving Day, the Detroit Lions have an 0-4 record. The Carolina Panthers have gone 0-3 in that span. The Cincinnati Bengals, they had yet to win a game. They finally broke through yesterday to break that 12-game cat losing streak. The Jacksonville Jaguars went 0-2. Since the black cat incident. So the Bengals finally snapped the curse yesterday. But up until then, 0-12 for cat nickname teams since the black cat got on the Monday Night Football field. Okay, got a lot of our stuff. I've got some audio. Might make the best audio of the year when we do that in a couple of weeks. We'll have that and much more as the Dory Monson Show rolls on from CenturyLink Field. Okay, last week we had some audio that I thought might make our final 32 sound bites of the year. I got one today that I think might make the finals here. Joe Biden. I don't know how this did not surface before now, but Joe Biden, he is surrounded by a bunch of little children as he is telling this little story, this anecdote, and I mean, if this is what's going to go up against Trump, they're going to be the two finalists. Joe has no shot. He's lost it. He's completely lost it. Okay, so this is a story where Joe Biden is telling all of the gathered children around him about how kids used to touch his leg hair and how he loves having kids jump in his lap. Now, remember, this is a guy whose nickname is Creepy Joe. There are 20-minute YouTube compilation videos of him sniffing the hair of little girls of people who are about to be welcomed into the Senate. and their families are with them. And there's this horribly awkward video of him sniffing the hair of little girls. Well, as awkward as that is, it's not as awkward as him talking about children touching his leg hair.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up.
I'm serious. He cannot even get out a coherent sentence. He's got hairy leg hairs legs that turn blonde in the sun. Go on, Joe.
That turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Ah! And what does that have to do with roaches? Oh, well, go on.
And I tell you what, the men, they're now all men, the guys I work with down here, and they're all guys at the time, they're all good men. Most of them made an awful lot of themselves. And Earl Larkin had a rough time. And some of you knew Earl. I came back as a public defender.
I mean, it was just rambling. And these are little kids who are standing around him while he's telling the story about how he used to love having children rub his leg hairs, and they'd watch the leg hairs pop back up, all blonde in the sun. I mean, I'm telling you, that's creepy Joe right there. But he loves having children jump in his lap, too. So That's a solid front runner. And look, I have said I still believe there's absolutely zero chance of Joe Biden being the Democratic nominee. I don't know who it's going to be. Elizabeth Warren will get trounced if she is, and everybody in the party knows it. Kamala Harris, she's just nosediving in the polls. Pete Buttigieg, he's not gaining any traction, although he's getting a little bit in Iowa. But there are a lot of people in the country, especially, you know, Maine Democrat constituents, that aren't going to vote for him. So it is going to be interesting. But right now, Joe ain't the one rubbing his leg hairs. Okay, that's it for the Dory Monson Show, but it's not it for me. We are going to transition into Seahawks pregame coverage. Monday Night Football begins next on your home of the Seahawks. 97.3 Cairo FM. Pregame next.